Welcome back to Let's Talk. I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Suganthi Subramanian, the author of The Story of Bentong Kali. We're just in the break having a discussion about whether it's called Bentong or Bentong, right? And I've always pronounced it as Bentong.
Okay.
Let's come to some of the characters. We kind of ended up with that. You actually have a list of characters, starting off with Tan Sri Zaman Khan. And Billiard, I think, is one of the more interesting characters in the book. Tony Emmanuel, because he's a journalist, well-known journalist, that appears in your book. Could you tell us a little bit about the structure of the book? So it's, when a reader comes to it, what can they expect to see unfold through the book?
All right, okay. I started off explaining who this person, the character is, Bentong Kali, is his childhood. And then we went on into explaining the 16 cases that was pinned on him. That is the entire, I mean, that's where the book is actually focused on. Whether, what are the 16 cases, and whether or not did Bentong Kali really commit the crimes that was pinned on him. So the reader will be able to see who are the people involved with Bentong Kali from the early days until he was shot dead by the police. So we also have a perspective from the police, from CID chief at the time, Tan Sri Zaman Khan, and also one of the policemen who was closely involved in capturing Bentong Kali at the time. Also from the media perspective, those who have covered him, especially in the 1993, as well as family members, as in just, actually I only managed to get his brother. The rest of his family members did not want to talk to me, including his wife. His girlfriend, who is actually the most, for me, I felt that she's actually very, very important to the story, because we would probably get to know the personal side of this person from the wife or the girlfriend. That was one of the things that I really regret, that I was not able to speak to her, especially the girlfriend. I was turned down. My offer was to talk to her was turned down, yes.
I want to sort of focus on the early part of his life, because I think in that you speculate a little bit about why he became a criminal. I mean, you lay out the facts of his family's social conditions, but you also note that in this huge family, many, many children, that one sibling became a police officer, and one sibling worked in the court, the eldest brother, I believe,
correct.
And that he was a very stern and disciplined character. So why is it, when you struggle to find, or as it were, the determinants for criminality, you often say, well, poverty pushes people into criminality and such. This kind of theory tends to get weakened by the fact that there's such a spread of trajectories within a family, right? So at the end of this process, why do you think, your personal view, Bentong Kali went the route that he did?
Okay, one of the things that actually pushed him into becoming a gangster was he was a victim of bullying. He was bullied from a very young age, and that kind of affected him, and he wanted to fight back. He wanted to prove to the others that he could, stand up and fight. But along those ways, he also seemed to have acquired a taste for colour, for wealth, and for, I think, attention. So in the end, he started doing the things he did because he wanted to be famous. According to some of his close associates, was that he wanted his name to appear in the newspaper. He wanted to be known to Malaysians. So that thing was what actually happened to him at the end.
Yeah, so this impulse to be famous is interesting, because today, with social media, it's a much more generalized thing,
yes.
And perhaps a lot more people can dream of fame through, social media is pretty conventional.
Yes.
Crime it isn't, right? But I think that is, something, a really interesting vein in your story is why he emerges and chooses this life. Okay, so we have that setting for the book. Then you have all these characters, as you explained earlier, that give different perspectives on the man's life. Why was it so important for you to explore the 16 cases, as you said? Why is it that you decided that he shouldn't be necessarily stuck with these claims that he committed so many crimes. What was the impulse there?
Okay, I feel that everyone has deserves a chance to tell their side of the story. But in this case, this guy is not alive anymore to talk about it. But this is one article that completes his criminal activities in the last three years, 91 to 93. So that was one piece of article that actually made me want to explore more. You know, probably I come from a generation that we don't really believe everything that comes out in the media. Okay.
And that's correct. That's a smart
yes.
move. Okay.
So with my background, I had some help with research materials and accessing archives. I wanted to explore that. Did it really happen? Is this really true? So that's why I wanted to use that particular article.
Right. One interesting fact, I think, about Malaysian life and culture and the arts is that depictions of the police are very controlled by the police themselves. I mean, you can't actually produce a film where you have a bad cop. I think there was some sort of regulation over that. Did you find it difficult to develop an honest portrait of the police? Because in a situation like that, there are of course questions that will be raised about whether it was necessary to shoot him.
Yeah.
And whether this was extrajudicial killing. How did you deal with that particular dimension of the problem?
Okay, so when I was doing these interviews with the police and people who are from media also, there were instances where I was told to switch off my camera, my recorder. They did not want to go on record saying these are the things that happened. So of course I will also have to protect the identity and also my source for the stories. I think they themselves were not very confident of coming up and sharing a lot of things. So to be fair, I did not I respected their wishes and I did not explore on things that they did not want to go on public.
Right. Okay, so you've done this book and I wish you all the luck with sales and feedback. Have you been getting any reviews?
I have a lot of people sharing on social media, especially towards his anniversary, his death anniversary and the day he was shot dead. And I have seen people sharing videos with their photo covers and all that. And a lot of people have come forward after the book was published, sharing with me on more personal stuff that they have known about this Bentong Kali, this character, how he used to travel in the local minibus along U Klang Road, disguised, wearing wig, dressed up as a woman to do his drug dealings, a lot of other personal stories involving Kali Mutu. So these are the things that only came to me after the book was published. So.
Is it likely that you will be able to do a second edition incorporating this new material?
I am really hoping for Malathi to open up to me, the girlfriend. So I have not given up my dream of speaking to this person. Although I was approached by one of someone who's related to her. She texted me actually on Instagram and said that please don't disturb my family anymore. Yet I feel that maybe one day she will want to share her story.
Right.
Because hers is actually, I don't know, from what I heard, is equally interesting on how she ended up being with
Kalimuthu. Do you think that ultimately people don't view history as a way of getting to the truth? When they have a chance to speak, they want to present their side and they want to justify their actions, and that prevents them from being completely honest with you
definitely,
as a writer.
Definitely, of course, because they have done a lot of bad stuff when they were young and they're younger, and they don't want that to be, they don't want to be associated with what they have done in the past.
And it might be incriminating for them as
correct,
well.
Correct, right? Correct. Mm-hmm. And like I mentioned, a lot of family members don't know that their fathers were involved in all this. So yes, the stories that they tell is always very much one-sided, but this is why I always go back to other sources to confirm. If this is the one incident, can these three people talk to me about what happened? So that gives I was able to give a better perspective with three sources, at least three sources, talking about one incident.
Right, in the final minute or so that we have, Sugandhi, tell us, what's your next project? Have you been excited by this process of putting a book together, and will you take it further?
Well, actually, I'm working on a script, TV script for this book. I was approached by someone to move it into a movie. So okay. Yeah, I'm working on that.
Okay, working to visual medium, which is a very popular medium.
Yes.
Do you find that writing, and if you compare that with, you know, say writing a script, do you find that writing for in order to keep people's attention a much more difficult task?
I think people don't read anymore. So I'm hoping that the movie will be much more, will be able to explain the story better than print.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Sugathi, for spending time with me on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay. So I've been speaking to Sugathi Subramanian, the author of The Story of Benthamkali, available at Gara Abudai. It's published by Gara Abudai Enterprises, in fact, and it's available at this bookstore in PJ in Section 12. That's all we have for you on the show today. I'm Sharad Kutan, only for Astro One.